She's not here to judge. She's here to report the honest news on healthy living. She's Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. It's time for Naturally Savvy.
Hi, this is Naturally Savvy. I'm Lisa Davis. Andrea is off today. I'm glad to be joined once again by the wonderful Donna Morin. Donna is a wonderful certified health coach. She's the founder of Better Off Well. She joins us now. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me. I love your show.
Oh, I love having you on. You know, Donna, recently you were on and we were talking about ways that you grew younger. And one of the things that I'd love to focus on a little more is the building of the tribe. And when you make lifestyle changes, I think it's so important to have like-minded people around you. And I'd also like to focus on what if you don't have like-minded people around and people who you feel are trying to sabotage your health for whatever reasons. Can you touch on both of these opposite coins here?
Absolutely. Lisa, I tell people all the time, really, it's so, so important that you build this tribe, that you have this community of like-minded people in your life. We're so steeped in a culture of processed food and of fast and just nobody's really connected to their food or to their wellness anymore. And so if you want to move in that direction, you really need to find others who think like you. And there are ways that you can do that. First of all, you want to reach out to your friends. You know, are there any in your own local community that you can find? That's probably the easiest to do. But if you are surrounded by people who really don't think like you do, and I have had clients like this, then there are other options. And the first is turn to your virtual community. You know, there are so many resources out there virtually today, including your wonderful website of Naturally Savvy. But, if you go to Facebook, there's a whole slew of Facebook pages out there that are dedicated to mind-body wellness. So join up with those and get connected with those people and the messages they're sending so you know that you're not alone. I think that's so, so important. And then there are other things you can do within your own community. You could reach out to your local library, tell them what you'd like to do, that you're interested in running a group, put a notice in the local newspaper, you know, that you want to have a library meeting group and everyone's going to get together on a Tuesday night and see what happens, see what you get for a turnout. And even if only one person comes, well, there's your support right there. So there are ways that you can do it. You can form a book group and have your book topic be some sort of wellness. There's so many mind-body wellness books available today that you can turn to one of those. You can have a potluck as part of your book group, so everybody brings a dish and they talk about it. So this is what is available to you. Now, what happens, you ask the second part, what happens if you have people in your life who are not supportive and who tend to want to keep the habits they have? That's a little bit tougher. And what you want to do in that case, if you're really truly committed to want to keep your lifestyle, is you're going to have to decide which of those people in your life are perhaps not allowing you to grow anymore as a person. And sometimes that does mean that we have to let go. And that can be hard. That can be difficult. But if you have people in your life who are not supportive, it might be time to let those people go. Now, if you have family members who are not supportive, it's not so easy to do, but that's where the importance of building your tribe comes in, because then you'll be able to handle those people much better.
That is true. You know, Donna, we are joined now as well. This is very special, having two guests. We have got Richard Harvey on the program. He's going to be talking about biofeedback. And, you know, Richard, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
And, Richard, I'm wondering if doing something like biofeedback, now I understand that can help with stress-related problems. What about when it comes to making behavioral changes? That's something that Don and I have been talking about.
Behavioral changes are very, very important for any of the biofeedback protocols that are in place today. If you think about behavior change as increasing awareness, paying attention to what's going on in your life so that you can shift from paying attention to intention, meaning I'm choosing to do things in a new way. biofeedback techniques are all designed to increase attention so that you can shift your intention about the types of positive direction and change that you want in your behavior.
Oh, that's so interesting. Donna, have you tried biofeedback?
I've read a great deal about biofeedback. I haven't tried it myself, but I love that. You can turn your attention into intention. That's awesome.
Yeah.
May I add one more piece, which is the concept of biofeedback that is an instrument, so something that measures your biology and feeds back information about your biology so that you can pay greater attention versus non-instrumented biofeedback. So, for example, if you look in a mirror, that's giving you information to pay attention to. If you get on a scale to look at your weight, for example, that's paying attention to your weight, but you don't have wires or sensors connected. Clinical setting, we might, for example, add on a muscle tension sensor that lets you know it's not just that your muscles are tense, but how tense they are. And with the greater understanding of a scale, say from 0 to 100% muscle tension, you might be able to say, you know what, I'm up at 100%. I need to back down a little bit or a lot in order to improve the strain on my muscles, using the muscle example. But without instruments, whereas we may know that we are under stress and strain, we don't know how much stress and strain we're under.
Well, you mentioned the instruments, Richard. Could you kind of talk about this in terms of, I would go in, would they hook me up to something, and then I'd be able to see it, and then I could help with my breathing, slow down certain functions? Am I on the right track?
You are indeed. In fact, the three major stress reduction techniques, if we're using stress as the example, are how it is that we change our muscles. So, for example, with instruments, we'd use a muscle sensor to help you become aware of your muscle tension levels, and that way you can reduce or be getting feedback about your muscle tension levels. Other stress reduction techniques include changing the way that you breathe, whether it's meditative breathing, yoga breathing, someone giving you a breathing exercise. But with biofeedback instruments, we can sense not only the types of breathing or respiratory processes, but as well how those breathing processes coordinate with your heart rate, because there's a close association between your heart and your lungs. And we have a technical term, and that's called heart rate variability, which is the synchronization or the synchrony between the variable changes in your heart and the variable changes in your breathing, so that people, as they increase their breathing, might feel panicked or anxious. That also affects their heart. And in order to improve our health, we want to synchronize our heart and our breathing processes in a way that makes sense for the body to not only heal itself in a global scale, but also if we have particular disorders of breathing or our heart processes, we can work on reducing the impact or the negative effects of those disease processes.
It sounds like it'd be good for anxiety.
Very, very much so. We also have a technique that uses measurements of not only your muscle tension, for example, or your heart rate and your breathing processes, but also your brain activity, your brain waves. And we know when people are anxious, for example, or categorically when they're depressed, for example, or mad, sad, glad, and scared. So scared is more anxiety and fear-oriented. Sad is more depressive and blue and sullen-oriented. And anger is also a piece. So whether it's major categories of emotional reactions, more anxious, more depressed, more angry, there's also one called boredom, which is another one. We can work with the way that your brain is operating and give you information or feedback about how to change what, and we can define what the word change means, how your brain will work.
Richard, we're going to have you back because the time goes so fast. I'm Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening and stay well.